Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys, a reminder to join us. That's 92.9 The Game. Atlanta versus Seattle match day live broadcast tailgate on Sunday, July 15th. It's Lot A in the Gulch parking lot. Rob Tribble, Randy McMichael broadcasting live from 10 a.m. to 1:30. FIFA 18 on the Xbox One. Love that game. Mm-hmm. And prize giveaways, including an Atlanta United poster signed by Carlos Bocanegra. Mike and I were talking about this Pac-Man Jones squab in the airport, and it happened right here at Hartsfield. And, you know, we travel quite a bit, and I know many of you do as well. And the thing, there's a couple of things that you dread these days. You dread the clown who's on your plane who wants to cause problems because you know there's going to be delays.
Right.
You dread it. You dread the idea if a fight breaks out near your gate, you're praying these guys are not on your flight because you know security is on the way. I just said to Mike, when you watch the people in the background, their faces are priceless because you know they're thinking, oh, hell no, please don't let them be on my flight. Because you know it's going to get delayed, and you know it's going to be an issue.
Because you know when you're walking to the concourse at Hartsfield Jackson, I mean we are one of the busiest, not the busiest airport in the world. It's all shapes and sizes, all creeds and colors, people from all over the world, all over the country. But this one guy who looks like Mr. Anderson from Beavis and Butthead, he's got the socks and sandals. It's like, watch out, Martha. I guess we'll take United next time. I don't ever want to have to change planes in Atlanta. Look at this. There's a fracas in the concourse. There's chicken pieces flying everywhere. You can totally see.
Is that
see
a thigh?
Yeah. So I don't know, from my standpoint, I don't know if I'd rather see a fired-up Pac-Man with a shiner on my plane or a stroller with two screaming babies. Well, you know, and a couple of parents trying to manage their kids. I don't know. It's a push.
Mike, it's not funny. Listen, I'm not making fun of this. This is unfortunate. It's funny in the sense that somebody got it on tape. But you're at the airport, fool. I mean, did you think you were going to be able to fight Pac-Man and no one was going to see?
Now, again, purely, speculative on our part because you never, ever see the video always begins after something's caused someone to pick up their phone and, let me get this on tape. So, presumably, here's just me guessing, okay, purely conjecture. The guy, maybe this dude played sports, he's an athlete. You see Pac-Man, he's got a girl with a very, very pretty. Anyway, and
way to put it, Mike. Nice way to put it.
And like a lowercase b. But anyway, and they're walking by, and you kind of do like the international sign for, you know, oh, blank you, Pac-Man. Whatever. Pac-Man's got peripheral because he's a good cornerback. And he looks over and he sees it, and then it's on like Donkey Kong. What'd you say? I said, you ain't nothing. Oh, yeah? Ping, pow, to the moon, Alice, and here we go.
I love the fact, and we were talking about this story, guys, and we'll rehash it a little bit here as we get into our NFL Blitz. If you have not heard this story, but Pac-Man and his companion declined medical treatment.
Yeah,
we're fine.
He's either wanting to get
back out of my face. We're fine.
Either try to get back to Cincinnati or get on his vacation.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
One of the two.
Yeah. I do not want a delayed flight. Is there anything worse when you are ready to go somewhere and the flight, not anything that you've done, but a knucklehead delays the flight for some reason, like the guy that jumped on the wing while I was gone.
I mean, there's always – that was a very strange week, by the way. Strangest day in recent Atlanta history.
I saw that while I was on vacation. And a guy jumps on the wing at Hartsfield. It's like, damn!
I know. Me and Randy was filling in for you. I was like
– And on your left, you'll see our brand-new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the Atlanta skyline. And on your right, we got a crackhead on the wing.
But anyway, as far as – But as far as
we're gonna have to turn this plane around, and that's another thing,
folks. We're gonna ask you if you can pull your window shades down.
We don't want him looking in. We don't want him getting any
ideas.
They
always do that because they want to keep the cabin cool.
Yeah,
he's in his underpants. We're gonna ask you to turn down your window shades.
There's nothing worse. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Glad to have you listening to the program. It's just this story. It's crazy, but it's also interesting. And I just had to laugh because it was like, can you imagine, like, sir, we want to take you to the hospital. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm my fight.
But it was a heavyweight. It was a heavyweight versus a middleweight, sir, you know, welterweight, light heavyweight, whatever you want to call it. But it was, Pac-Man was giving up a size advantage, and the other dude landed some shots, but Pac-Man certainly finished his business.
Frank, you got beat up. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz. Dukes and Bell.
And you know, Frank, the guy that started it, you know his boys are listening, whether it's College Park or wherever they live inside, wherever this dude lives, his boys are, man, Dukes and Bell were clowning you, Frank. They said Pac-Man whipped your butt.
Hey, Frank, take the vest off next time, okay?
Yeah, because now you're a former employee of AMP or whatever the company
Frank,
is.
Frank, take the vest off. If you are going to get caught on camera, you are better off just pulling your whole shirt off. You might as well have been shirtless in the airport.
Yeah, and wear a wool hat because the cameras are everywhere.
All right, man, let's talk about what's going on in the NFL. It's brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis, Key of Kennesaw. Randy Moss is mentoring Jameis? Yeah, listen to this, guys. The soon-to-be Hall of Famer. And I don't know what you think of Randy Moss. I think he's one of the best all-time wide receivers in the history of the game.
Right.
Production-wise, what he did. I know he went some places. He laid an egg. He quit on some teams. I get that. But the overall body of work, you can't argue it. Randy Moss is, I think, his first 8 seasons in the league off the charts. With that said, Randy's also a guy, Mike, that turned his life around, right? You know?
Now, we've interviewed Randy in the last couple of years at the Super Bowls and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, it's a completely different perception of Randy. And he's, you know, he's an entertaining guy doing TV now. But, I mean, there were times, unfortunately, that, yeah, he did, you know, maybe not have his head on straight when a Raiders team was kind of going south. But regardless, Jameis needs somebody in his life. Somebody who can at least get the message through that, son, you're down to strike three, and this is it. One more screw-up, and you're done.
So this is the downtime between the conclusion of the offseason program and the opening of training camp. Now, remember, Jameis is suspended for the first 3 games, right? So Randy Moss is speaking to Fox 13 on Tuesday about Jameis, and he says he's doing the right things. This is Randy Moss. It's a bump in the road. Man, just continue to fight. He says, what he did was wrong. You know, I'm not saying right or wrong. There was a woman involved. So I'm not going to get into all of that. What he did was wrong. He knows it was wrong. And he goes on to basically talk about, you know, mentoring and helping people out. And he says, I'm just here to be able to tell and just give guys whatever I've been through. And, right. Mike, to your point, I think part of this is you do feel like you're on an island when some of this stuff goes down like this. Yeah, it was a knucklehead move. You know, Jameis has owned it, and he's going to pay the price for it. But who are you calling? Who are you talking to about this? Or are you just staying silent and thinking that you can handle everything? And I'm just saying, sometimes guys can't. So I commend Randy Moss for stepping in and saying, look, if you want to talk to somebody, I'm here. I went through my troubles. Here's the deal with me. If you want to open up, I'm here.
Right. I mean, look, you know, we know Dirk Cutter from his time here in Atlanta. Dirk, we have a chance. Carl and I, Squid, who's producing for Arthur, we've all played golf with Dirk. He's a good dude, but Dirk is tied to Jameis, man. And he might not make it to midpoint of the season if they are, you know, they're under 500. The Glazers have blown out coaches before for less.
No doubt. We'll see where it goes. Listen, I'm not anti-Jameis. I am anti-Jameis nonsense because we defended this guy in college. Because there just simply wasn't enough evidence and nothing was there to be proven. But then you get to the NFL and you have a, quote, Mike, similar situation. And so now I'm on guard whenever I'm discussing things about Jameis Winston when it comes to off-the-field stuff. Because now, whether you thought he was guilty or not at Florida State, this is now he's missing games.
And this has nothing to do with shooting a BB gun or crab legs, which, again, it's immaturity and it's silliness. But after he had the incident that he was alleged, you know, the alleged sexual assault, he's on campus yelling profanities. I mean, you're like, dude, really? Do you not get it? So in the case now with the NFL, there is a zero tolerance. And I know I'm not saying it's right or wrong how the NFL doles out discipline. I think in the next CBA, the players need to get some of that back. But this is the lot they signed off on. So you have no recourse. Roger Goodell and the NFL are judge and jury, whether you went before a judge or not, regarding your case.
Hey, man, this Shady McCoy situation. Let's get into this again because it is a developing story. I don't know where this goes. I'm hoping... Mike, I really am. I'm hoping this dude wasn't involved.
Speaking of the NFL and the optics, I mean, could you imagine this? You know, people still talk about the Ray Rice situation. The Me Too movement has righted some wrongs. Now, again, some would say it swung too far the other way. Regardless, You've got a woman who looks like she's been through, I mean, the worst beating of, I mean, I couldn't even imagine doing that to a woman. Pistol whipping someone. Mm. I mean, you're a piece of garbage, whoever did. And I hope I, number one, let's catch this guy. Okay, if Shady McCoy did or did not hire him or was or was not
whoever,
involved.
Whoever was responsible.
Yeah, let's get this guy, you know, in handcuffs. But that aside, boy, Shady McCoy better lawyer up. And it better be a lawyer with a ponytail.
That's cold. Lawyers say that the victim of the invasion of a home, again, owned by LaShawn McCoy here in the great state of Georgia, that the assailant demanded specific items of jewelry. Okay? Now, let's just think about this for a second. You're my ex. You won't get out of my house. I want you out of my house. You tell me to go to hell. I say get out of my house. And while you're at it, give me my ring back. You say I'm not giving you Jack back. And I'm going to live here as long as I want to. What are you going to do about it? Then I say, cool, I got you. And then a guy shows up and a woman gets pistol whipped and asks for specific items of jewelry. Now, I'm not a detective, but you put that together.
Well, the other thing, the AJC had this today. There was supposed to be another court hearing about trying to get her evicted from the premises, but it was pushed back because her attorney had some date or there was a conflict. Is that correct, Bo? There was a family emergency for the attorney. So, again, it's all circumstantial evidence, Carl, but everything you just said. Now, oh, by the way, I thought I was going to get this handled next week. Now it's pushed back to the end of August.
So I'm going to go ahead and do something. Maybe.
Again, I'm just saying, you've all guys that are in the car, whether your dad was a cop like me or you watch cop procedural shows and courtroom dramas, this is all the kind of circumstantial stuff that builds a case.
Well, and here's the deal. And I've had friends, unfortunately, that have been robbed. Okay? First of all, there's nothing to play with. Scary when people have weapons pointed at you and you know that your life could end. But the people that I know that have been robbed, Mike, were robbed for everything. They took everything. Come out of that, give me that, give me your wallet, and come out of that too. Not Playboy, I need the ring. Give me that ring on your pinky.
Well, that's the thing.
That's the weirdest thing to me. What specific items?
Give me your watch, give me your credit cards, give me your wallet. Okay, it's not like, give me that David Yurman bracelet.
Correct.
Give me
right.
Give me those, you know, I was trying to think. Give me that Tiffany necklace. Yeah, exactly.
That's the weirdness for me. With that said, LaShawn McCoy has denied these accusations. He is innocent until proven guilty. But as I said, as this information continues to come out, we're just looking at it and going, man, it's suspicious. And again, he may not have been the perpetrator who broke into the home, but if he's connected to that, that's a bad look, and he's still going to be guilty.
Now, the only other way this would go down is somebody who knows that she lives in this house and has that kind of ice. Right? That's
true.
That would be what Shady
McCoy.
Let's flip the script. Let's say we're Shady McCoy's lawyer. If there's ever got, again, it's never mind, I didn't even get that far. But if they catch this guy and he's just some dirtbag who has awareness because she goes to a hair salon and he goes, a friend of a friend, oh, by the way, they live up there in that house.
Yes.
I mean, that's how things, how do you think things can go down? It's a little inside information. You know somebody's got a place. But if it comes down to, yeah, no, that ring. No, not the cushion cut, the princess cut.
Yeah, that's my issue. Here's the other thing about this. It's our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis Key of Kennesaw. Go see my friends, guys. There are pre-owned and brand new Kias for you to purchase, and certainly you'll get great customer service at Jim Ellis Key of Kennesaw. Here's the other thing, though, Mike. Out of all of that, and again, this is all speculation. We obviously are having fun with it. It's a serious deal when you're talking about a woman getting beat up the way she did and pistol whipped. But the other side of this that really concerns me and bothers me is, if you're going to hire somebody or bring in your boys, potentially, again, speculation to do something, don't give them a key.
Yeah.
Because this is a non-forced entry. So even if you say all those things that you just laid out, these dudes basically walked in the front door.
Because, again, guys, as we said, if you're coming in halfway through the conversation, you go, oh, man, you guys are judge and jury on LaShawn McCoy. We've said it a million times over the last 2 days. The Reuben Foster thing, there's false accusations. Do you really think this woman went and got herself hit up with a gun, pistol whipped, or had someone hide?
And if you had somebody do that to you,
right,
you're certifiably crazy.
Right. Now, I wouldn't put that past some people on this planet, but this thing, it looks like just a brutal beating. But if you don't have a forced entry and the doors are locked. Now, again, I'm Shady McCoy's lawyer. Do you lock the doors at night? Maybe we didn't lock the doors, but if the doors are locked, I mean, what you would then
wait
say?
Wait a minute! Do you lock your doors at night?
Damn, Skippy.
Okay, then.
With a code.
Not like they live that far out.
No, but I mean, I'm just trying to play, you know, judge. I'm going back and forth, like witness for the prosecution. I'm just saying that.
All right, Dershowitz.
Because if I'm the prosecutor, I go, okay, let me get this straight. Someone breaks, so then you can say Shady McCoy. You'll get my stuff, but don't mess up my crib. I don't want to jam up the door. Don't break the door jam.
But see, that's the problem.
You know, I just put some brand new. Don't see. You know, it sounds like a bunch of nonsense.
Oh, man.
I mean, so that's what we said. If you just use deductive reasoning, which God gave you a brain to use, and you look at all.
Not now, everybody.
As more information comes out, as we said, this is what we got at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. If more information comes out. But based on that, Carl and I are going, this looks really awful for one Shady McCoy.
Yeah. All right, man. It's.
Or unless you want to go and you want to take it to a. You want to make this a drama and a movie. If you were going to do the Shady McCoy, you should have ransacked another house or have your guys ransack another house so it looks like you got somebody out there running amok on Cherokee County somewhere.
You know what? You got a criminal mind.
Well, no, I saw the movie Jagged Edge.
That's devious.
Well, again, my dad was a homicide detective.
All right, fellas, listen. All right, you know what you got to do, but make sure you break in these other homes as well and tear everything up.
I mean, that's if you want to. I mean, I know it sounds cold-blooded, but if you want to do it this way, that is the way to go.
Yeah, that whole non-forced entry thing, that's a problem, especially when I'm the owner of the house.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where it goes, guys. Again, I hope this dude is not involved with this.
If you're just tuning in, that situation's developing, obviously, and then you got the Pac-Man thing. NFL Blitz brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw.
All right, see CSI on line 4 for you, Mike. When we come back, the Braves' struggles continue. What are we going to do? Are you panicking a little bit now that we've lost 6 of our last 7? We'll talk about it next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk with Mike Conte, the voice of our Five Stripes. It's the Five Stripes preview, and we're getting ready for a match on Sunday, July 15th. Again, we've been talking about this all week. It's just cool simply because the game is on Big Fox, and it's the Sounders. But more importantly, the game is literally right after the World Cup finale, and so everybody will be paying attention to it. And there's a lot of people, again, we think everybody knows what's going on here in Atlanta with our United squad. So there's going to be a lot of people who don't know.
Right.
Who are tuned in, Mike, going, where's that at?
There's just so much good buzz, and it's not just about here in America. It's global buzz. You know, we mentioned The Guardian, a newspaper website from the U.K., giving a rave reviews about Atlanta. We talked about that at this time yesterday with Darren Eales, president of Atlanta United FC. And I got my cousins from Northern Ireland who live in London. They're like, man, everybody wants the jerseys. That's the thing. All my friends of mine around the world want we're going to get the jerseys. So they're a hot seller. Because they look cool, you know, and that's one of the things. And I got this hat, by the way. I picked this up when I was in Italy, the Juventus hat. All we need that's missing right now from Atlanta are better hats from Adidas. That's the old, Craig, am I right? The only thing we need are better lids. Adidas does not do hats like New Era does.
No, the New Era's been known for their hats. That's the one thing. I was like, can we split that deal up a little bit? That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, three stripes. I mean, having like gold stripes on a visor, you know, the Adidas hat is. I mean, Adidas makes cool hats. They just don't sell them here in America. That's the problem.
It is true. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're going to get back into some Braves conversation here because, listen, I think it's top of mind for a lot of folks who are paying attention. And if you haven't been, you should be because the team is good. But the team can be better. And right now, we're in a little bit of a rut coming off of this 10-game road trip. And last night was one of those frustrating games where you go, all right, could go either way. We need to make a few plays. Not only did we not make the plays, Mike, but the bullpen poops the bed again.
Yeah, because if you guys, you know how bad. We told you about it yesterday with our conversation with Grant McCauley. Julio Teheran has been terrible, lit up like a pinball machine against the American League. Last night he gave you a quality start. You know, only one earned run. He took you all the way to the seventh inning, 6 2/3. That's a quality start from Teheran at home, you know? Like, he's going to give up home runs at home. It just seems to be his lot in life now since they moved to SunTrust Park. But Julio did everything he needed to do after we basically called him out yesterday.
We did, because we said we need a quality start. We need to go to seven. And I tweeted it literally when he got pulled last night because I was like, good job. All right, now let's get a hit or two. And things just fell apart. It literally fell apart, as we talked about, in that five-run eighth inning that was the disaster inning for the Braves. And you know, Brian Snicker said this. We've had some big innings. He talked about it in Milwaukee, right, where it's a tight game. We're down one or we're up one. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 and they go up four or six. Those are devastating. Because I don't care how good your team is. Those are hard to come back from. So, you know, it's one of those things, man, when you talk about where this team is and where they may go, some things need to be adjusted. And I know, you know, some people want to make a move simply for the bullpen. Some people want to make a move for a frontline starter. Some people are saying, listen, screw that. Let's go get Machado. Let's go upgrade our everyday lineup because that's going to help us. Machado is better currently right now than the guy we have playing his position.
Right, but the only caveat to that discussion, and you and I had this conversation earlier, is you got to make sure, you got to have some way of knowing what his intentions are, that he wants to be an Atlanta Brave long term. And how do you do that? I mean, you're going to risk trading a guy like Dansby, who's, you know, he's the Babe, the boy. Now, he's not hitting. I mean, unless he's just going to be a 250 hitter and that's it. Their fielding percentage isn't exactly the same between Manny Machado and Dansby Swanson. So you're not getting worse or better at the shortstop position, but you're getting a real pop in the lineup. But you'd have to know, Carl, because years ago, Mark Teixeira came in. Wasn't it Scott Boros was his agent? And didn't, you know, there was a thought that you gave up so much to get him, only to see him walk out the door the next year. That can't happen in a trade for Machado.
All right, I'm looking at the team eras, and we are currently fourth. Well, check that. 43 eras right now through 90 games for the Braves. Mm. So when I say fourth, there are three teams, Arizona, Colorado, and Washington, in front of us that have less or committed less eras
than
us. So
we're doing a good job fielding.
So yeah. We are a good fielding team. But the point I'm going to get to is last night, to me, that's the bigger issue with Dansby. And that was one play. But you got to be solid in the field. Those are plays I expect him to make. The hitting is going to come and go. He is not, you know, the best hitting all-timer at his position. And I don't expect him to be that, but I do expect him to be a gold glover at his position.
That's a great point. If you're going to be a 250 hitter, you better be a gold glove shortstop, right? That's what you're looking for. So moving forward, I know that some guys, I know that you fear change, especially Dansby. Armstead, make love to me. I can't, honey. They're talking about trading Dansby because Manny Machado has said he would not play third base. He wants to be a shortstop. That's where he feels most comfortable, and he's let that be known. So whoever the Orioles trade him to, which they're going to do, he's going to play shortstop. But then can you get him to stick around? Because if he signs a multi-year deal, then you're rocking and rolling, man. Then you're talking about Albies, Acuna, Freeman. I don't know what you do with Marquez. I hate to lose him the way he's swinging the bat. You throw in Machado in there, giddy up.
That's a solid lineup. I mean, I'll put that lineup against anybody, Yankees, anybody in the National League.
But Ender's got to do better. Ender's batting. Yes. And that's another thing. Who's your table setter? Do you just move Albies to one? Because I don't trust Ender leading off anymore.
Well, maybe that's the situation. And by the way, you know, Ozzie just continues to rake. He just continues to get hits and get on base and do what he's been doing with all season long. It's really amazing to watch how consistent he has been. But, yeah, Mike, I think you could easily make that flip. But I will say this. I don't believe, okay, at this particular point that the Braves are interested in that kind of move. I think if you felt like, again, you were one player away, the Machado move makes total sense. Without a guarantee, and let's flip the script. If you're Machado, why would you guarantee that you're going to be a Brave when you know there's going to be a lot of money on the table in the offseason for you and your services? So you don't make that promise because that's not what players do. Players say, all right, I got traded. I'll play this out. I'll be here for the next 3 or 4 months, and then I'm going to see where this goes because, for him, this is his time for leverage. So there's no promise that would come, and therefore I don't think the Braves would make this deal.
Right. And what you need right now, guys, and we'll talk more about it as we get closer to the trade deadline after the All-Star break, got until the end of July, is how do you beef up the bullpen? And this is the question you and I have asked a million times, and I'll put it to you again. If you are Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves ownership, do you say, yeah, we're not there? You know, it was a nice start. It's a false start. This is what we are, where we still got to develop our pitching. We're not all there. And, you know, by the way, we're carrying, you know, millions and millions of dollars in debt, you know, with SunTrust Park.
What was that motion you just made?
I just had an itch.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, as far as – this is not TV. This is radio.
You did that to me, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, I get it.
No, because I don't think there's a Braves fan who sits there and goes – you know, I am concerned about depreciation on assets. You know, no one gives a crap. You know, are you a real estate company or are you a baseball team? That's what the fans want to know. So let's find out in the next 30 days. Are you a real estate company or are you a baseball team?
Baseball ownership. That you're right. And
go get, because Minter, I know Minter's 3-2, but that last night was hot garbage. That was
and by the way, if you are that fan that cares about what is old on the battery or SunTrust, call us because we're going to front you out. Okay.
Yes, my name is Bob at Accounts Payable on Twitter. I mean, unless you're like a licensed public accountant.
But nobody cares about that.
I should say certified public accountant.
CPA. No, but nobody cares about that, Mike. And for them to even throw that out there, I think that was a ploy to just say, hey, we've got other things going on. I don't care. I want to make my team better now. Mm. That's all I care about.
So with the Braves, first things first, do you trust that you – Soroka, we don't see him for another month or two. I mean, at least it was the 60 days when they put him out there. You hope that need a really good start from Newcomb coming up. Fulte will be an all-star.
Sean, get your head right.
Yeah, but then do you go out and –
I know you're listening, Sean.
Do you go try to find somebody for, I don't know, another Anibal Sanchez type guy? I mean, would you think the Braves would make a trade for a bona fide number one starter?
That is
like
more
a Jacob DeGrom.
Well, to me, that's more likely, Mike, than the Machado thing. The Machado thing is fun to talk about because, again, he's one of the most interesting players. And does he make your team better? Yes, but I just don't feel like we're in that spot right now where we go, hey, maybe we're one player away from the World Series. Let's go make this move. The number one starter thing, DeGrom, is more likely to happen than that. And then I also think the other thing that's more likely to happen is give me two pieces in the bullpen. You know, Alex, go fix this, man. I mean, we're counting on you. I think Alex, by the way, and I've said this, it's too early to judge what kind of general manager he's going to be. I do think the guy is smart. He knows what he's doing. He's got a plan. But I think also in this process that he realizes where this team is. And he's got to do something. And it's not just about the team. It's also about the fan base.
Well, you missed out when the Nationals went and got a closer. But Sergio Romo was just in my ear saying from the Rays, because it's always a fire sale in Tampa Bay.
True.
But there could be some guys up there to help. You need somebody. Make Vizcaino the setup guy, right? And a guy like Romo would be your closer potentially.
Okay. I don't have a problem
with
that.
That's not bad.
Arodis Vizcaino as the setup guy?
Right, and now you're getting there. And Chris Archer out there, there's a bunch of players, which unfortunately the Rays, and by the way, no one even knows how they're going to afford or pay for that new stadium. They literally were passing the hat at the press conference yesterday in Tampa. Yeah. So,
well, what is it going to cost, like $890 million?
How can you make a stadium for under $1 billion these days?
Because it's Tampa.
Exactly. I mean, I was talking to JP this morning, our buddy JP Peterson, who does radio, he comes on to talk Bucks with us. I go, what is this thing going to have, a blank load of screen doors? You know what I mean? Like, seriously, they're going to have glass that opens up. Because I know Tampa in July, that's a delightful place to have a roof that's going to be like a magnifying glass. It's going to forget about it.
Here's the selling point, and I didn't see that presser, but somebody was telling me. It was almost like they kept saying, and by the way, our stadium will be under $1 billion. It's almost like, hey, we're going to be able to do this for under $1 billion.
It's got under 30,000 seats.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I mean, if you ever do get good again, and remember we saw them with Madden back in the day all the way. The tickets will be at an unbelievably high cost, but smaller seems to be the trend. I talked about going to Marlins Park. That's a great stadium. You know, SunTrust has got less seating capacity than what we saw at Turner Field. But, I don't know how they're going to afford it. You can read it. There's a couple of mock-ups. ESPN's got it, too, about the new Tampa Stadium, what we're talking about, over in Ybor City, by the way. So not that big drive out to St. Pete.
Listen, I do think it's a good location. Ybor City, what it used to be?
Nah, it was. It was cool, then it wasn't cool, and okay. I guess they're trying to bring it back again. Because in the 90s, it was a great spot.
It was. That was the spot. I mean, you can go down there and have a good time. It was New Orleans.
Right.
As close as you could get to in Tampa.
I forget
New
the
Orleans.
Name of the street, but Ybor City, there was Harpo's, all these great little bars. It was just a really cool entertainment district. They're calling the new stadium, if it gets built, the Humidor.
Is that true?
Yeah, because you're going to be sweating your off in that thing.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Hey, hit us up, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're going to talk with Mike Conte. And all of a sudden, this World Cup semifinal has just gotten more interesting.
Boy, you ain't lying, man.
Time for the weekly Five Stripes preview.
And it's punched in for a goal.
With Atlanta United announcer Mike Conte. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union. The way banking should be.
We do it every week with the voice of our Atlanta United. Next up, the Sounders. And Mike Conte, as we talk about this next upcoming match, there's a lot of good things to feel positive about coming off that victory against Philadelphia. And again, we always talk about this, building on those victories and doing the things well that you did. Hopefully they carry over. Mm-hmm. First, what do you know about the Sounders, man? How are they playing this season?
Well, they have been very disappointing, probably the most disappointing club in MLS. They went to the MLS final, the MLS Cup last year. Lost to Toronto, only 4 wins this year, 9 losses, 4 draws. So they're only on 16 points. They're 10th in the West. If they do one thing well, they defend well. And that would be a concern because we've seen Atlanta United a couple times this year having trouble breaking down defending teams. Chad Marshall, 3-time MLS Defender of the Year. He's probably their most important component coming into Sunday. But I just look at this matchup on paper. I know Seattle's third best in the league in goals allowed. But if you look at just everything kind of converging here for Atlanta United, Seattle, you know how in the NBA we talk about schedule losses sometimes? Like you're at the end of a long road trip or first game back home after a long road trip. Seattle played at New England this past weekend, scoreless draw, went all the way back to Seattle. Now they're going to come all the way back to Atlanta to play this Sunday.
That's tough.
2 Eastern kickoff. That's 11 Pacific, so it'll be kind of an awkward time for them. And they got a couple guys hurt. So if Atlanta United goes out and takes care of their business and puts an early goal on the board, this could be a pretty comfortable win on Sunday. Could be.
The atmosphere is going to be electric. We're just waiting to see if it's going to be England, France, or Croatia, France before we, again, we'll get to watch the FIFA World Cup Championship, and then we'll see our match, and the rest of the world will see our match.
From the standpoint of atmosphere, I think England winning would probably be a good thing. I'm not all that enthralled about a Croatia-France World Cup final.
What did Croatia ever do to you, my country?
Nothing. That's why I'm not enthralled by
why
it.
Why don't you come to Dalmatian? Come to Dalmatian Coast, where they make Game of Thrones. Beautiful country.
I'm sure Dalmatian Coast is absolutely beautiful. But either way, it's a good chance, and I heard Darren talk to you about this yesterday. It's a really good chance for Atlanta to showcase itself because it's going to come on right after the World Cup final on Fox. Probably going to be the highest viewed MLS regular season match of the year, if not of all time,
right,
because you're going to get that lead in for the World Cup final. You're going to have 72,000 fans. Really, it's going to be a cool atmosphere. I love the idea of them opening up the stadium so people can watch the World Cup final on the Halo board. That's just going to add an extra element. And again, Atlanta United, as well as they've played on the road this year, 6-2-2 on the road, it seems like the road brings out the best in them.
Right.
When they get things cooking at home and the crowd gets behind them, almost like we saw in that Orlando match 2 weeks ago, it almost becomes a tidal wave.
Right.
And it's very, very difficult for visiting clubs to deal with that.
It is Dukes and Bell. It is our weekly visit, Five Stripes Preview, with our own Mike Conti here on the program. Coming up in less than 20 minutes, we'll talk about the new top 25 rankings that are out. Phil Steele talks about it and where the dogs are and a lot more in less than 20 minutes. As far as our club's concerned, we've seen the, you know, and Julian Gressel was on the morning show as we got a chance to hear him this morning. If you want to go check it out, it's on 929thegame.com. I think he's been amazing.
He's done a great job.
I think so.
Great job filling in for Nagby. And this was, I think we were really concerned, you know, when Nagby got hurt. Yeah, Gressel was capable of playing that position, but what would it look like? And would he be responsible getting back and defending and doing kind of that dirty work in the midfield? Or would you have to kind of turn to a guy like Eric Rometty, who's going to eventually be with this club? It sounds like he's not training yet. I think Gressel has made this easy now on Tata Martino, at least for the time being. You don't need to make a change, okay? The 4-2-3-1 works. And Gressel being able to play that spot where Nagby was allows you now to have Villalba, Barco, Almiron, and Martinez all on the pitch at the same time. And have you noticed, guys, even in the Dallas game that they lost, you really start to see that chemistry now come together, almost like a finished product now. And evidence of that being the team goal that you saw, the second goal in Philadelphia, where Villalba kind of tapped it in after a nice ball that was started by Barco, passed to Martinez, to Almiron, to Villalba. I mean, guys, no one in MLS can defend against that.
Right.
When it's working like that, when it's connecting. And the finishing in the final third, really since the Open Cup match against Chicago, the finishing in the final third has been so much better, and that's what makes Atlanta United lethal.
It is Mike Conti, guys, talking about your Atlanta United. He'll have the call on Sunday along with Jason Longshore live from Mercedes-Benz. And that's the thing. We've talked a lot about Barco. When's Barco going to get? And you just touched on it. How now you see the rhythm developing. Because don't forget, you're plugging a new guy in.
Yeah, and the thing about Barco, yeah, I know there are some people, even on this radio station, who have been pointing to, you know, well, he only has 4 goals. That's not good enough. Guys, first of all, Barco's not brought in to score goals. I mean, he's brought in to be the facilitator. It's nice that he can score, but that's not his main job. You have to remember something. You know, Barco was kind of eased through training camp because they were worried about some injuries, and then he did get hurt right before the Houston game, missed more than a month. When he comes back, then Villalba gets hurt.
Yep.
And on top of all that, Barco, as I have said repeatedly on the air, is getting fouled terribly week after week after week. It's good that he's drawing fouls.
Right.
That's his job, I mean, to draw fouls and get you free kicks.
We talked about it with Darren. That's why there's a Rometty thing come in to help him out as some physical presence.
Yeah, he'll be kind of that bowling ball, you know, to help you with that a little bit. But I really worry You know, and I'm not saying superstars should get superstar treatment, but I think a lot of teams now are taking really, really hard fouls on Barco in the middle third to take the air out of the ball and stop attacks. And you have to start throwing yellow cards on these
fouls.
But
the refs don't call. I mean, by the way, for guys who don't follow, we're talking about like the field offensive. Think of it as like an offensive sector, defensive sector in the middle of the field. The middle of the field, they don't throw yellows.
No, right. And they need to start, or you're going to set this precedent that it's open season to just kick Barco and foul him hard in the middle third without any fear of getting a yellow card. And that, I think that's just something that needs to be looked at. I'm not trying to whine on Barco's behalf. He doesn't need me to help him on this. Atlanta United doesn't need me to help him. But when you talk about Barco kind of slowly easing into things, a lot of things have been working against him this year, and yet he's still flourishing. Can you guys think, Barco's played 15 games this year. Can you think of a single bad pass he's had this year
no.
in those 15 games?
No,
1,200 minutes?
Mike, my only, it's not even a concern because, again, you know, he's just getting his feel. But I wish he would shoot more. I wish he would be less hesitant.
If you listen to the broadcast on Saturday, I had one of those for the love of God moments. I mean, he in the first half, dribbled into the box. Looked like he had a clear shot. Now, credit to Philadelphia. McKenzie and Rosenberry got back and made that a little more complicated than it looked initially live. But, yeah, I agree. You want to see Barco be a little more decisive.
But
that's fair.
But outside of that, as far as the passing, he's been amazing.
Absolutely. And you could really make the same comment about a lot of players in MLS, a lot of players on Atlanta United. Just be a little more decisive. Sometimes it's been one pass too many this year. I think they've gotten better in recent weeks, being a little more direct, a little more decisive. And the goals are starting to pile up now. And Atlanta United first in MLS in goals. Joseph Martinez with 18 goals, cruising to the Golden Boot right now. And on pace maybe to have the most goals in MLS history, which is pretty crazy.
Golden Boots for the guy who scores the most goals out there, guys. Mike Conte with his talking United. Georgia Report coming up at the top of the hour. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an electric vibe. Should be a blast. Let's hope it's England-France. I think there's more juice involved in England-France final.
Yeah, I think so, too. It looks like they're going to extra time. They're about 30 seconds away from full time. And then we'll get extra time. And, you know, England, it's crazy because they're – their history in penalties has been awful until this World Cup.
Carl, there's years ago, I remember the European finals where Beckham famously missed a spot. I mean, literally put the – you want to talk about an airmail shot?
Yep.
And then Beckham looking at the hole in the ground as if, you know, like a golfer.
Something
you
know, happened.
Right. Yeah. His leg or something.
Yeah, Lucy from the Charlie Brown cartoons pulled the ball away from him.
But this is – I mean, it would be very – it would be, as they say on Men in Blazers, it would be so Englandish if they can blow this lead because they scored early. And there's always something about don't score too soon. But this has been like a pinball machine the way that Croatia has been lighting them up of late. But a lot of drama back and forth too, Carl. For guys who don't like soccer, it's action nonstop.
And quite frankly, this makes up for the lousy game that we had yesterday between France and Belgium.
Right.
I thought as about as disappointing a semifinal as we could have had because this World Cup has been so high quality. France scored early and kind of bunkered. They are going to extra time now. Mm. They've blown for full time. So we'll see. I mean, England, look, they had all the superstar teams, 98, 02, 06, 10. 10 might have been their best shot.
But this is a team.
Well, that's exactly right. Like, you don't really have superstars on this team, but they play really well together. And I don't want to say I'm rooting for anyone because I'm really not, but you would feel good for England because it's been so long since they've won it, 1966. They've been so disappointing for so many years. On the same token, it could be like the Chicago Cubs. You know, their fans suffer for so long, you feel bad for them. Then they win it, and their fans become insufferable.
Yeah.
So let's hope that doesn't happen.
No, it's a great point. Hey, the game is Sunday, guys. 2 o'clock, Mike Conte will have the call. And again, this is our Five Stripes preview.
Brought to you by Associated Credit Union, the way banking should be.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. We'll talk to you in a little bit. For in case you missed it, where are the dogs in Phil Steele's new top 25 that was released? We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.